We're talking today with Dr. Brett Carver, of course, our state wheat breeder for Oklahoma State University. And Dr. Carver, let's talk maybe first of all about the acres that are now in the ground. We've got the seeding report and the OSU varieties that you've had a hand in developing. They show up really well. They're what, the top six in the state.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised to see that, and ecstatic to see it, actually, to see that the varieties are being adopted. The new ones are really being picked up and utilized in ways that, you know, we're suggesting that they be utilized. I'm just tickled to death to see that. It does show that the investment being made is bringing back something to the grower. We want to continue doing that.
I guess what the heritage there is with Gallagher, a very strong number one, but you've got Destor right in there as well. I mean, there's some real heritage there to that breeding history that you've developed.
Well, yeah, and it's not just me. There are other people involved in that, of course. But and two, you know, you look at the heritage of the Destor lineage that goes back to Pioneer Genetics predominantly, and you know, we're just building upon that. But I think you're going to continue to see that Destor influence throughout the next varieties that come out, because that lineage is just giving us what we need in terms of adaptability, that ruggedness that we need on those grazed acres. It's, you know, we don't see that declining anytime soon. So we'll continue that emphasis on the grazing grain part of the program. But you're going to hear that Destor name over and over, but now as a grandparent instead of a parent.
Now, that, you know, you mentioned the grazing grain. That's a unique thing here for the Southern Plains, and that's something you've got to build into your varieties that maybe nobody else really has to in the country.
Yeah, and that took a little bit of a different perspective and a different approach to wheat breeding. And we decided long ago that we couldn't just breed the varieties like we always have, and then test them for that ability to be adapted to the dual-purpose system. We had to actually utilize the dual-purpose system while we were developing the lines, in other words, making the selections. And that made a huge difference, and that's been going on now for almost 20 years. Mm-hmm. So it's ingrained into the breeding system. It's part of our heritage. It's part of our philosophy. And it's here to stay, I think.
Right. Let's talk about maybe a couple of the varieties that are fairly new that were, you know, they were there. They were in that variety report, but they'll continue, I know, to gain in popularity. What Bentley, and then also Stardust.
Right. Yeah. Stardust, we're not seeing too much of yet. We had to go back and ramp up the seed production. We didn't have as much of that coming out, mm-hmm. but that seed production is coming along very well. And I'm looking forward to seeing that hit a part of our state that we never really have seen white wheat before. It all goes back to the sprout tolerance that's present in that variety. And Bentley, gosh, I'm just really pleased with the way it's performing. You know, it took us 7 years to decide, let's pull the trigger on it. So we ought to know, you know, we ought to feel pretty comfortable about it. Right. The only lack of confidence I have is what's going to happen to leaf rust, you know. And we know that Bentley, we knew it several years ago, that Bentley didn't have the best leaf rust resistance, even though it has plenty of leaf rust resistance genes in it. They just don't work against the present races. But that is the one part of this equation I'm not real sure about, and we need to watch it very carefully. Because leaf rust will, if it comes in early enough on Bentley, and when I say early enough, that's before heading or at heading, it can have a yield, it can cause a yield detriment.
Let's talk about, you mentioned to the Wheat Commission today, 13 different experimentals, numbered varieties that are out there, cultivars that are out there in the various wheat plots all across the state. That's a lot of experimental varieties.
Yeah, and doesn't reflect the inability to make a decision. I can tell you that it does reflect a very big pipeline that and all those lines have merit in some way or another. But you will see some common or hear about as we go through the tour season. We'll talk about this. Mm-hmm. Some common denominators to these experimentals. Number one, at the top of my list has been, you know, for the past several years, is straw strength. I know that's a characteristic that we need to improve upon. Duster, one of its weaknesses, if it doesn't have very many, is straw strength. And so as we carry that dust or influence forward, we're also going to carry that weakness unless we do something about it now. So we put a lot of selection pressure on that characteristic. I think it's starting to come through now in our more advanced lines. You'll also see now it's not entirely due to this, but we've reduced the plant height a little bit to help with that straw strength characteristic. But it's not, again, it's not the entire story behind that. Some of these lines are quite short. Mm-hmm. Some of them are the double stop endurance height as well. So we run the full gamut. Stripe rust resistance is another characteristic we will talk about. You know, I just mentioned leaf rust. Well, stripe rust has been on our minds since the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. I feel like we've got some really good, durable type of resistance now in some of these newer lines coming out. I'm excited about that.
I think this may be a year that we'll see a fair amount of out there. You'll get maybe a good test.
Well, the stripe rust, maybe not, but the leaf rust, yes. And that's okay because, you know, we haven't really had a good leaf rust year to evaluate, to apply selection pressure for since about 2009. That's too long of a wait. Now, Dr. Hunger helps us out, and we can select for a seedling type of resistance in greenhouse assays, but we need that field validation as well. So we've gone several years without it. I think our germplasm has slipped a little bit in terms of leaf rust protection, but we haven't totally lost it either.
Tell me about the new varieties that you're at a point that you've either pulled, you know, picked some names out, or you're very close to doing that.
Yeah, at the Crop Improvement Association annual meeting in February, we did announce the approval for release by the Ag Experiment Station, or the pending approval, but that now has happened, for Smith's Gold, which is a Gallagher derivative, and Spirit Rider, which is a OK Bullet derivative. The name ought to certainly remind some of our Oklahoma State faithful. I'm really excited about those too. I talked about straw strength a minute ago. Spirit Rider is a definite improvement in straw strength. That's because of the OK Bullet influence. Smith's Gold, just to, you know, pick out one thing, Gallagher has good stripe rust protection, but only in the adult plant stage. If we have better protection before heading, I think that enables our producers to take advantage of the yield potential that's already built in those varieties. Smith's Gold has a definite heads up over Gallagher in terms of that season-long stripe rust protection.
On both of these varieties, you know, you talk to me just a little bit about each of them as far as where you see them fitting within the state.
Very different areas. The Spirit Rider seems to be more limited in its adaptation, more towards the panhandle, under irrigation too. Under irrigation, you can see the advantage of that straw strength come through. Also in northern Oklahoma, even irrigated acres, Spirit Rider would perform very good. Southwest, not so much. I think we're going to try to talk it away from that area. Now, Smith's Gold, being a Gallagher descendant, is going to go in places pretty much where Gallagher has gone. And that's pretty much statewide. Mm-hmm. Maybe not as strong in the panhandle, but in the central corridor of Oklahoma, through the primary wheat belt of Oklahoma, that's where Smith's Gold is going to fit. And it will probably move up into Kansas as well.
One last question. As you continue to work, and I know this is a work in progress, but are we going to be able to, there's been a lot of pressure on many of the public wheat breeding programs around the country. I know we've been pretty independent to this point, and you've been very, very choosy about how you set up relationships and whatnot. Do you see the ability to keep the OSU program being able to be an independent program to you know, serve first of all those wheat producers of the state?
Yes and no. Let me back up. I think independence is good. I want to make sure that this program survive on that can survive on its own with investments, of course, from stakeholders, the wheat production community. But I think it's just as important to think about in terms of relevance. You know, I independence is okay, but I want to make sure the program is relevant. And relevance to me may involve interacting with certain private entities that have similar goals, similar, particularly a similar outlook on how important quality is. And so we have not totally withdrawn ourselves from those interactions. And I can say on air that, you know, we've interacted very well with Syngenta, AgriPro, sharing resources there, actually working on a project where we're looking at bird chariot aphid tolerance. That's a very important characteristic that's not given much attention. Mm-hmm. I like the work that they're doing in hybrid wheat. We're not interacting with them in that particular project, but you know that may be in our future. We're working with Pioneer because Pioneer has been so important to our germplasm in Oklahoma. There's a natural interaction there that we've taken advantage of, and they're also looking at hybrid wheats. We'd like to be a part of that hybrid wheat development without actually having to produce and breed the actual hybrid wheat cultivar.
Production your practices or production traits are important, but you continue to emphasize if it doesn't meet the needs of the end user, it's not acceptable.
Exactly, and that is becoming all important. And I get feedback from the industry, and they're offering more feedback, it seems, these days than ever before, and that's good because that's what we need to know. How are the varieties working in the bakeries? And once we have that information, we can make better decisions in the fields.